Our top story is the drink in your hand. If you sip coffee while you're driving, you deserve to know if you have to stop doing that. There is confusion about the new state distracted driving law. It is true you can now get a ticket for dangerous coffee drinking or burger eating or lipstick smearing, but those are only secondary offenses. Here to tell you what that means is Trooper Chase Van Cleve with the Washington State Patrol. Welcome, Trooper.
Hello.
Our listeners might know secondary offenses from the seatbelt law. What is the difference between primary and secondary?
Sure. So a primary offense is something that we as law enforcement officers, state troopers, can stop you for. So that would be things that we have been making traffic stops for a long time. Speed, lane travel, erratic driving, following too close, failing to use your turn signal, things of that nature. Those are the primary offenses that can be stopped for. A secondary offense is something that we can't make a stop for just for a secondary offense. So the one that's big in question is, you know, taking a drink of your coffee while you're driving, eating food, or, you know, having water, anything of that nature that we do while we drive. Can I be stopped for that alone? And the answer is no. We cannot stop you for a secondary offense alone. So we have to observe and see a primary offense before we can get into the secondary offense.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So if I'm pulled over for a bad lane change, I swerved, and
right.
I'm also drinking coffee, how would you as the trooper decide whether the coffee contributed?
A lot of it comes back to what did I see and what did I observe. I think there's so many what ifs when we talk about that sort of thing that as the trooper and personally when I make a traffic stop, I have to have some proof or belief or evidence to think that that coffee played a factor in why I stopped you. I can't just go up and see a coffee cup in there. And this is, again, me speaking personally, just because I see a coffee cup doesn't mean it was involved. Just because it, you know, you have it in your hand or you were taking a drink doesn't necessarily mean that it's at fault for that lane change. I have to have a reason to believe that. And that's where it comes back to is everything that we write a ticket for, we have to testify to, which means we have to have some basis of proof or evidence or belief to think that that had a factor in this case, that ticket.
But what would you witness in my coffee drinking? Would it have to be my coffee? I have to fly out of my hand and splash all over my front windshield?
Sure. I mean, if I were to walk up to you and there was, you said, you know, I spilt my coffee or I spilt my drink and there's a large coffee stain on you or on the floor, there would be evidence there to show that that was an attributing factor. You know, if I were to walk up and there was mustard or ketchup from, you know, the hot dog that's right next to you and you'd say I spilt it or I lost it and you know, as I'm next to you or behind you in my patrol car and I see you fumbling all over the place for it, that would lead me to believe that that was a factor in that sort of thing. Or, you know, I think this is something that every one of us have seen, somebody that is not driving properly or dangerously and you get next to them and they're looking in their mirror and doing makeup or shaving or brushing their teeth or something that's not focused on driving. It starts with that primary offense, you know, whatever it is that caused it. And then if I'm able to observe what's causing it as a trooper, then I can, you know, write a ticket accordingly to that.
Okay, so you will actually, you might be looking for food stains and judging what contributed. And I want to talk about that in a moment. Just first to underline for our listeners, it is, again, not illegal to drink coffee and drive. You'd only be ticketed, only secondary offense, only if you're handling caused your swerve. What do you think of the petition to change the new state law? Because some people are confused and some people just don't like, especially the secondary offense part.
For me, you know, when I get the chance to talk to people and you and have the opportunity to talk about it, is it all comes back to the heart behind the law and why it's there in the first place. And the goal behind it, you know, for us, especially when we enforce it, is that everybody gets home safe. And as troopers and first responders, we've all gone to a scene that is heartbreaking, you know, whether it's a serious injury collision, a fatality collision, and cell phone or distracted driving was the cause behind it. And that's where this really comes from is we want everybody to get home safely. You know, that is the ultimate goal.
Yes. Some people are saying, though, we should be safe, but why does the cause of my swerve matter? Isn't the swerving the only thing you should penalize, not the coffee drinking?
Sure. And I understand that. I think, you know, again, when we talk about why the law is there is because we want to prevent that from happening in the first place. And so if it is a coffee, if it is grooming, if it is whatever distraction it may be, you know, I think there's so many distractions that it could be within our car. The goal is to make drivers and all of us think twice and not do it so that it prevents that swerve from happening. Because once that swerve has happened, or once the, you know, the whatever driving behavior it is that we stopped you for has happened, it's already too late. And if that has resulted in a crash, then at that point it's too late. So the goal and the target is to prevent and deter people from and drivers from doing that distraction in the first place.
And the other objection, even if you agree with that goal of safety, the objection is the subjectivity of it. I mean, we've on the more serious side, well, it's all serious, but we've learned from smartphone videos and body cameras that sometimes an officer's subjective judgment is flawed. Is it just up to the interpretation of the officer who happens to pull me over? And do you have any concerns about that subjectivity?
It does come down to what an officer can articulate and what they saw, you know. And so if an officer does see something and, you know, for us as troopers, I mean, we have to testify to what we write and what we see. And so if we do see something and we cite for it, or, you know, we give a ticket for it, then we're going to be called to testify to that at a later time. And so, you know, we have to have a basis for what it is that we are, you know, writing a ticket for or stopping people for. And that's where it comes from, is we have to have that sort of evidence and that sort of basis before we can just go out and write tickets. And then once we do that, we're held accountable to what it is that we write. Go ahead.
Yeah, and finally, Trooper, there's the question of disparate enforcement. This is an email question from one of our listeners. Travis suspects that this law empowers undertrained law enforcement to profile people in cars under false pretenses, adding to an ornate set of codes that ensnare vulnerable communities in a web of debt and legal trouble. What do you say to that?
Whenever I get the chance to talk to people, it always comes back to we are trained very specifically and extensively to enforce our laws, and we receive updated training all the time. Every single year, we're required to go to training so that we're current on what it is that we're enforcing. And so, with that said, it all comes back to us as the heart behind the law. Is, you know, it's unfortunate that everybody has a different perception on why we're doing what we're doing. But when we focus on the law and when we focus on traffic stops for distracted driving, it comes back to getting everybody back safely. And if we can all work together to do that, then I think our roads will be a lot safer. And if we're not driving distracted, and if we're not paying attention to our cell phones, and if we're in the car driving and 100% focused on the road, chances are you won't be stopped for distracted driving and cell phone usage. And if that occurs, then I think it's a win for everybody, because everybody on our roads are safer. You're not being stopped by police because you're not, participating in the action that you could get stopped for. And for us and for me, that's what it comes back to, is, again, that goal of safety and everybody getting home safe.
Yes, and sometimes we don't realize how distracted we are until we see ourselves objectively. The Traffic Safety Commission made a video about distracted driving that we're going to tweet right now. We'll link to that. That just shows there's a trooper pulling up alongside people who are distracted, and you can watch them and maybe see yourself in all of that. Trooper Chase Van Cleve with the Washington State Patrol, thank you for explaining this new distracted driving law that's just gone into effect. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.